So I hope you guys had a really safe Independence Day yesterday. My wife sent me and my two daughters on Friday over to Lime Lake, and the Kless boys had a crazy 4th of July celebration on the 3rd. It was wonderful. And I kept thinking, because there's other people shooting fireworks, I kept wondering, like, do you realize that there's fireworks happening that are way better on the south side of this lake? But there's guys like, we're going to light our fireworks too. And then I just kept wondering, how many people go to the hospital every year from fireworks? This has nothing to do with my message. It was just something I thought. How many people go to the hospital because they blew their hand off? So anyway, I hope you had a safe one and you didn't blow your hand off. And I probably shouldn't joke about that, because maybe somebody did. If so, we pray for them. Lord, please help them. Anyway, if you got your Bibles with you, will you turn to chapter 5 of the book of Mark? Mark. And while you're turning there, I don't know if it's happened to you, but for me, there's times in my life where I'm in the middle of a project or I'm on an important phone call, and all of a sudden there's a disruption that causes me to have to stop what I'm doing and do something else. And it can be incredibly frustrating, can it? Has that happened to anybody? I'm sure that's happened to everybody in this room. And the definition of disruption is this: a disturbance or problems which interrupt an event, activity, or process. You know, like you're on an important phone call, and then your 5-year-old daughter comes up to you and says, "Dad, I have to tell you something." "No, not right now. I'm on an important phone call." "I have to tell you something. I'm on the phone with the realtor. I can't talk right now. I have to tell you something." "Okay, fine. What is it?" "Why is the sky blue?" That's a disruption. Am I right? You've been there. You're like, come on. Just not right now. Why is the sky blue? It's like, did you really have to interrupt me for that question? Or maybe you're in like, you're having your day planned. I don't know if there's any day planners out here. You like to have your day planned. And then all of a sudden you get a call from a family member that says, "I need you right now to come help me." And you're like, come on, I was in the middle of something. Disruptions happen all the time in life. Maybe you were planned out to go do something. You planned to go to work. You plan to maybe go to a movie and go to dinner, and then COVID-19 happens. Talk about that's a disruption, right? What a disruption we had with COVID-19, and we're still having in our country today. But what I want to say to you is that the question I have is, what if God was using disruptions? What would your life look like if you could grasp that idea and move into saying, God, I know you're using disruptions, and I want to be a part of what you're doing? That's the question. So if you're taking notes today, I want to entitle my message, "The Opportunity of Disruptions." The Opportunity of Disruptions. So let's go to Mark 5. We're going to start in verse 21. It's a little long, so if you're following along in your Bible, or if you're on your phone or tablet, we're going to Mark 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she may be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. The large crowd followed him and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she had suffered a great deal under care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Verse 27. When she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. Verse 30. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him, and he turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see, the people were crowding against you," his disciples answered. and then you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Now go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother this teacher anymore? Overhearing what they had said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw commotion with the people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. What a great story, huh? What an incredible story. If you're taking notes, the first point is the title of my message, pretty much, that disruptions equal opportunities. If you really want to understand the opportunities of disruptions, you're going to have to realize that disruptions can equal opportunities. We plan out everything in our culture. Our culture is so rigid. It is so like this, and this, and we plan vacations, we plan what we're going to eat for the week, we plan what we're going to do, who we're going to see, we even plan what we're going to watch on TV. And how many of you remember the day before there was like Hulu and On Demand, where you actually had to be in front of a television to watch a show that you wanted to watch? It's like, Tuesdays at 9 p.m., I better be there. We would plan these. We still plan these things. We live in a highly structured society. But I want you to notice from this story that Jesus wasn't really disrupted. We look at what happened with that woman as a disruption from what he was going to do, but Jesus wasn't disrupted. It might look like that to us. I mean, think about it. Jairus is there and saying, my daughter is dying. I need you to come now. Please come now. Please hurry. It's urgent. And as he's there in the hustle and bustle to get to that house, he says, who touched me? As he's got a crowd around him. And if you could just think about right now, the disciples are like, dude, everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? Him, her, all these people touched you. And I can imagine Jesus thinking, no, you don't understand. It was a faith touch. It was a different touch. There was something in that touch that I felt the power come out of my body. And I can see the disciples thinking, you're crazy. What are you talking about? We don't have time for this. How many of you have said that when there's a disruption in your life? I don't have time for this right now. But there's opportunity in disruptions. Jesus said, no, I felt the power leave me. He knew that there wasn't a disruption. He knew there was an opportunity for ministering to a woman who believed. This is a perfect example of how God is looking for disruptions. He's ready for them because he knew the disruptions were opportunities to minister to people, to see people free, to see people healed. What if we started thinking in that way? That disruptions can be opportunities. When your neighbor comes to talk to you about a problem that they're having, you could look at that as a disruption and say, man, when's the last time they cut the grass? You know, what are they doing? They left their garbage out and it blew all over my yard. You could think all the reasons not to stop and minister. But what if we start changing our focus to say, disruptions equal opportunities? What if you change your perspective? What if you said, instead of, I got to go to the store, I got to go to Tops, and we got to get our chicken. I got to get it. And then you get a phone call that you have to answer for work, and you're like, I don't want to answer this because the chicken's on sale at Tops. And look how many people are in there. You know, you have every reason to not stop and to say, I don't have time for this. And Jesus had every reason to say, I don't have time for this. There's a girl dying on her deathbed. A couple of weeks ago, if you don't know, we sold our home, and there's all these inspections and things that have to happen. And one of the guys came to inspect our attic, and this man came. And he does the inspection. I'm cutting the grass because I don't have time for that, right? And my wife is there just telling, you know, letting him up into the attic and that. I'm cutting the grass, and I finish the grass. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to go in there. This guy's going to probably try to sell me something. So I get in there, and the guy, you know, gives me the pamphlet. You know, it's like there's Jehovah's Witnesses at your door. I don't got time for this, right? And I'm just thinking, come on, man. Give me your spiel and then go bye-bye. So he gives me the spiel, and all of a sudden he asks, what do you do for a living? I work with people, and I work for the most powerful person in the universe, right? I just want to say there's two reactions usually to when you say you're a pastor. The first reaction is, oh, okay, have a good day. bye. Didn't want to ask you. I can't believe I asked you. The other one is, let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about my problems. And this gentleman spent the next 25 or 30 minutes telling my wife and I about his divorce, about his health issues, about all these things. And I sat there and thought to myself, I have time for this. And it was that moment when I sat there and I gave myself to this disruption, that I could tell that God was in it. Because this man was sitting there and he's dealing with the guilt of having to leave his wife who was unfaithful to him, having to deal with this guilt so bad that his colon exploded not once but twice. This man needed to know how much God loved him. And if I wasn't open, and trust me, there's been moments in my life where I have not been open to that disruption, I don't think God could have moved in our kitchen of our home. We have to be looking at these disruptions as opportunity. And again, Jesus, his life didn't have disruptions. To Jesus, and honestly, consequently to us all, disruptions represented people. People were his business, and they're our business. People were his purpose and our purpose. See, interruptions and disruptions spelled opportunities to display the Father's love to people. And let's take it another step further. Jesus wasn't slowed down by this disruption. He wasn't slowed down by this. It didn't ruin his purpose. In fact, they were his purpose. See, Jesus pauses to minister this woman. And in the meantime, as he's doing this, as there's this disruption, I'm sure for the disciples, they're feeling like that. Jairus definitely felt like that. Like, what are you doing dealing with this peasant woman? What are you dealing with? Come on, I got a daughter. She's 12 and she's dying. As he's there, he says all this. And then people come out and say, the girl's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And that would make you think things over, right? But no. He goes into the house. Everybody's crying and mourning the loss of this daughter, friend, sibling, relative. And Jesus says, why are you crying? She's still sleeping. And everybody laughed at him. But who got the last laugh? Jesus did. Because that disruption did not stop him from being able to fulfill healing for both. And he tells the girl to get up, and she's been raised from the dead. It shows us that when we follow God, we need to trust that these disruptions will equal opportunities, and they will not get us off the path. Because as long as we're following the path that God has for us, come on, you're not on the wrong path. Opportunities to follow God's direction. Remember, Jesus said, we said for the last couple of weeks, I only do what I see the Father doing. To obey. No matter if people laugh at us, to obey, that God is bigger than we think. Number two is be flexible. Number two is be flexible. For those of you who are in attendance right here in this place, or if you're online, I want you just to stand up. Let's do this, okay? Stand, everybody stand up. We can do a little exercise. I'm going to ask for you to put your hands in the air. Now, here's the tricky one. Without bending your knees, see if you can touch your toes. Yeah. Bonus if you can put your palm on the ground. Now, raise your hand if you could do it. Wow, there's not that many of you. Okay, you can have a seat. Some of you are like, man, I didn't know we were going to do calisthenics today. All right, let's run in place. For those of you who couldn't do it, that was pretty uncomfortable. Was it? The back of your legs were like, stop, you're hurting me, right? If your legs could talk, they'd be cussing at you, like, stop. But when you're doing that, you're stretching. Even the thought of doing it for some of you was just uncomfortable. Because why? You're not flexible. You're not flexible. The reason why you can't do it isn't just because you can't do it. It's because you're not flexible. You're to be honest, if you're physically not flexible, you can't physically do some things, like touch your toes. You can't. And some of you are very surprised that I could put my palm on the ground. I am very surprised too. For some reason, when I used to work out back then, I'm still flexible. So, but here's the deal. The same thing is spiritually. If things are uncomfortable, if you're not able to do them, if things like disruptions feel like that there's so much that you can't even try, you're not flexible. And the goal of being a Christian and to follow what God is doing is so that we can be flexible to what he's asking us to do. It's one thing to understand that disruptions can lead to opportunities, but it's a whole different thing to realize that you have to be flexible to follow through with that disruption and possibly an opportunity. Think about the father and the daughter here. Think about that urgency again that the father has. Please come to my house and raise my daughter. I mean, just think for a second if your daughter is dying. And think about the pressure at that moment that Jesus is under and how you would act. This woman comes and disrupts everything. She doesn't know where he's going. She has no idea what's going on. She just wants to be healed. And I want you to notice that in the story, Jesus was en route to raise this girl. I guess you could say he's busy. In fact, everybody's busy nowadays, aren't they? Everybody's busy. What are you doing? Oh, I've just been busy. Busy, busy, busy. Busy is the new lazy. Pooh. That just came to me. Busy is the new lazy. That's not even in my notes. You might want to write that down. Somebody tweet that. Everybody is busy. But suddenly the woman disrupts everything. And if Jesus was not flexible in that moment, he would not have stopped and helped that woman because he was busy. If he was not flexible, he may have had a bad attitude. Hello? How many of us have a great attitude when we're disrupted? He would have had a bad attitude if he wasn't flexible, and he may even had lashed out on that woman for doing such a thing. But Jesus was flexible. Now apply this to your life. Are you flexible when you have everything planned and things don't go the way you want? Are you flexible when those moments happen? Are you willing and open to do what God's calling you to do, or are you just stuck in your own strict agenda that you have in your plans? Are you flexible? And there's a story I'm sure that many of you know of these two women that had Jesus over their house, Mary and Martha. And they're there, Jesus is in their house, God in the flesh, the word became in their house. Mary drops everything to spend time with Jesus, but Martha just can't do it, stop doing stuff. She's busy. She's busy, busy, busy. God's in her house, and she's busy. Jesus stops Martha and basically says, be flexible. relax. I'm paraphrasing. But don't just worry about your to-do list. Come and spend time with me. Are we being flexible in our lives? Many of you have been at home and stuck in the house for months. How flexible are you? How did you respond? And how are we still responding to that situation? Because can I tell you right now, COVID-19 was and still is an opportunity for the gospel to be spread, for the name of Jesus to be spread and people to be saved, and for them to live eternally. That is still an opportunity even today. And our complaining and our fighting and all this, I get it, it's tough, but what if we start looking at it as an opportunity and we are flexible to say, God, can you use us? Use me right now with COVID-19. Use me when I have to go into the Tops Friendly Markets and they ask me to wear a mask. Use that as an opportunity. Use it as an opportunity when I go to the gas station. Use it as an opportunity when something bad happens. Even if you break down on the side of the road, it's still an opportunity. Opportunities don't always pan out, but sometimes we have to be looking for them. Are you flexible or are you too focused on what you're doing? My last point is don't just make plans, plan for disruptions. Don't just make plans, plan for disruptions. Proverbs 16:9 says this in the New Living Translation, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. My mom has this sign above her kitchen sink, and it says, plan on being spontaneous today. You know why that's so important? Because if you're planning on being spontaneous, you can be spontaneous. But for some of us, we have to plan for disruptions to happen in our lives. You have to plan that things may not go the way that you want them to go. I got X, Y, and Z to happen. I want to do this, this, and this, and that's what I'm going to do with my day. What if instead of that, here's a real practical way of how you can practice this. You say to the Lord, God, what is it that you want me to do today? I give you full license to disrupt my world. What if we did that? One thing to know that disruptions can lead to opportunities, but we also have to be flexible in our opportunities, right? We have to be flexible in those disruptions. But the final thing, obviously, is that we have to plan for things. We have to plan for disruptions. Instead of just planning our plans, plan for the disruptions that God's going to do. That means getting your mind right. Pastor Jeff told me this a long time ago. When you're walking into a tough situation, a lot of times what we do in our lives is we say, it's going to be so great when I go over to that person's house, right? Or it's going to be so great when I see that person in church. It's going to be so great. He said, instead of just thinking that and being totally let down, why don't you just think, things might not go the way I want, and I want to be prepared to respond correctly. So if you're planning for disruptions to happen in your life, therefore you're planning to respond correctly when they do. Is that right? Lord, help us, right? Help us make plans to be disrupted. It sounds so backwards to what our society is, but can I tell you, God lives in an upside-down kingdom. It's the total opposite of what we go through in this society, in our world. Your world says, make this, 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 and this. If you don't accomplish these things, you weren't successful. But God says, don't worry about those things. Worry about what I'm asking you to do. Now, does that mean you don't make plans? Absolutely not. I'm not telling you not to make plans. And does that mean that all disruptions are wonderful? Listen, no. Sometimes they don't lead to somebody else coming to Jesus. Sometimes those disruptions are for you to work on your heart. Sometimes they are for other people in ministering, but sometimes disruptions show you how ugly you really are. Come on. Well, I was going to do this, I'm going to do that, and this person's asking me, God's asking you to serve right now. You might not see the fruit of that disruption. You might not. But what is God asking you to do? Where is God calling you to do? I was just talking to Ben Heckethorn. Sorry to throw you under the bus, but Ben was just talking to me about somebody that he saw recently, and he felt like the Lord was calling him to speak and minister to this person. as he was doing that, he's like, nah, I can't, because that's what your mind does, right? Your mind says, no, no, don't do that. Your sin says, don't do that. You're going to look silly. You're going to look stupid. But I'm telling you, the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God, when he pushes that on you, respond and say, I'm willing to have my life disrupted for the next whatever, and I'm going to go minister. He did, and God moved in that person's life. That's how we should be all operating at all times, is God, where's the distraction? Where's the disruption? I want to be interrupted for you. Will you bow your heads with me and pray? Father, we are busy people. We are. We live in a world that is fast-paced and moving and changing at all times. But Lord, I'm asking this morning, can you come, Lord, right now and show us maybe our hard-heartedness towards other people or situations or unwillingness to be flexible? Lord, will you first of all show us, God, that there are opportunities in disruptions, that there are times where we can minister or that we can be changed ourselves. And Lord, we pray that you would make us more flexible. And part of being more flexible is sometimes you just got to stretch. And you got to stretch every day. And stretching is painful. And stretching doesn't feel good. But Lord, we know if we're going to become more flexible for your kingdom, we need to stretch every day. Lord, I pray right now that there would be divine disruptions for us this week, and that we would be flexible and respond to them correctly, that we would plan on being disrupted this week so that we can minister your gospel, so we can show people your love, your freedom, your salvation. But also, Lord, I don't know if that's you, but this is going to sound weird and it's going to stretch you. But if you just want to respond and say, I need more of this, I need to do this, I'm just going to ask that you would stand in a way to say, God, I need to be stretched. I need to be stretched. And maybe even just lift your hands to him as another stretch. God, I need more of your kingdom. I need more of your Spirit. I need more of this better outlook on life. Because if the church could get this thing straight, if the church could realize that it's not about our ways and our plans, but it's about what he's calling us to do, then that's going to change anything. I can't do that. I got a business. I have X, Y, and Z to do. Listen, God wasn't stopped by that woman stopping him to save that girl. He wasn't stopped by that disruption, and he will not forsake you as long as you stay committed and obedient to him. We love you, Lord. Give us more of that flexibility. Give us more of that, Lord. Help us see things. Help us see things through your eyes and your lenses, that we can be instruments of your praise, that we can be ambassadors for your kingdom. Help us not be so stuck in our own world that we're only thinking about ourselves and our to-do list. Help us to reach out to our communities and look for these divine interruptions, these disruptions that come. Lord, sometimes it feels like an attack from the enemy. And maybe sometimes they are, but Lord, we're asking that we would see things for you, that we would look to you in all things. Say, Lord, we know you're bigger than any enemy. You're bigger than any disease. We know you're bigger than any problem or disruption, and we trust in you. See, that's what it is. Knowing that God is bigger than the plans you have. Knowing that God wants to use you and you are able to be used. Some of you right now are saying, I can't do that. I can't be used. He's saying, yes, you can. I have chosen you. I have called you. You can be used and you will be used. In the name of Jesus, for his kingdom, we accept that, Lord, and we praise you and we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a round of applause today?